keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling when you feeling them flares. They can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch the scenario. My stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah, just nod your head with it. So explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it. No scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool. Hear my heartbeat beat into the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope so. No overdose, cause it's dope, yo. Man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow, down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know. We getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in, full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams we pursuing.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio. Once again, with your host, Nick Burnaby, here on UCY.TV. Thank you all for tuning in and welcome back. I missed everybody for the last couple shows. I've been a little bit busy and took a little time off and, had some fun recently, and I'm not going to elaborate too much on that, but that's all I'm going to say about that. Anyway, I'm glad to be back. It's great to be back. I missed doing the show. Hopefully everyone enjoyed. On Monday night we had DB and Jake and SM Gibson, and of course we have Gibson on Tuesdays and Thursdays as well.
I wasn't here Monday.
Now we're back. We're back for Wednesday night show, and hopefully we can, you know, make this show to remember. Anyway, we got a lot of stuff to talk about tonight, and I'm joined in the studio tonight by Jake Anderson, one of our awesome journalists at the Anti-Media. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you?
Pretty good, man. And you were planning on coming over Monday, but then we didn't do the show Monday because I got back literally a few minutes before the show started, and I was driving a long time. I was just too tired. I would have been doing everybody a disservice had I tried to do the show Monday night.
I cried for hours over it.
I honestly don't doubt that. We got some good news. I heard from Manny before the show, and it's as far as I know, Manny's going to call in tonight, and he's going to join us. Our other co-host, D.B. Schwartz, he'll probably be on a little bit later once we get going here. If anybody wants to call in tonight and join in on the conversation, we're going to be talking about all kinds of stuff. We have a few callers that are scheduled to call in. We'll see. And hopefully that happens and we can talk about some stuff that needs to be talked about. But if anybody in the audience wants to join us, feel free to give us a call, 718-717-8296, and you could call us and talk about whatever you want to talk about, or you could talk about what we're talking about. First on the list, we got our latest story on the Anti-Media that I just want to touch on. And everybody's favorite punching bag, which is Monsanto, they're affected by this. But three more countries in Europe are just in the last month and a half, 2 months, have now started to shift over to be glyphosate free, which Woo! Is pretty good news, because glyphosate is the world's most popular herbicide. It's the main ingredient in Roundup. Glyphosate is a patented product by Monsanto. They patented it, I think, back in the 70s, something like that. So everyone that uses glyphosate is paying Monsanto in one way or another. And Switzerland, there's one of the biggest grocery chains out there in Switzerland is now decided that they're going to stop stocking Roundup and glyphosate-based herbicides And there followed that follows closely on France, which recently, I'm sure everyone heard about this, France actually banned glyphosate from being sold at any of their retail shops. So basically, like Home Depot and that kind of stuff, you know, people want to get Roundup stuff for their weeds and stuff. It's just not going to happen anymore in France because they're too concerned about the effects that this glyphosate is having on the environment and the health of the people. And you got to keep in mind, like, and maybe it's not such a coincidence, but you look at these countries in Europe that are starting to ban this stuff, and these are the people that actually pay for the healthcare of the people.
Right.
And so they're worried, like, look, we're not going to allow them to use all this Roundup if it's going to put all these people in the hospital later on because we're paying for this shit.
Good point.
You know what I mean? So I think that may be why that these countries are making a quicker move away from this stuff, even if it's not 100% proven that it's causing cancer in humans, even though the World Health Organization says it's probably causing cancer in humans. I don't think these people want to take a risk and say, okay, well, we're just going to let it ride for another 10 years and let's see what happens. Well, then we're going to be costing ourselves a couple billion extra dollars and treating all these people that are coming down with cancer because of the Roundup and stuff. So I think that's why a lot of these countries are doing it. Germany now is also making moves. And recently, 30,000 health professionals, which includes doctors and nurses, from Argentina's largest healthcare union, have also voiced, they signed a petition. 30,000 healthcare workers signed a petition asking to ban glyphosate out of Argentina because they've seen a sharp rise in cancer and kidney disease and things like that, as well as Sri Lanka. Their president recently issued a ban on glyphosate. And Colombia, we've talked about this a few times, they've even stopped spraying it on their illegal cocoa fields. The fields that they use to grow cocaine, they used to spray it on there to kill off these crops and stuff to try to hurt the, you know, the drug dealers and stuff. But now they're finding out that the glyphosate is so destructive, they won't even spray it on illegal cocaine crops anymore. You know, and that's kind of saying something there. Now, I think we're joined on the call tonight by Manny Aguilar from Los Angeles. How are you doing, Manny?
I'm tired, but my spirits are always up. You know, when you're doing the right thing, you're always going to feel good about it and feel like that, you know? And so, so I'm glad you guys are talking about Monsanto, because one of the things I was telling people in Mexico, and, you know, it's hard to translate stuff from English to Spanish sometimes, but you got to do it somehow, you know? And we always talk about Roundup, but we need to also say, you know, the products of Monsanto, Dexodan, D-I-O-X-I-N, you know, in case I didn't pronounce it right, Agent Orange, DDT, PCB, you know, PCBs, you know, and then you look in at genetically modified crops, and then I'm not sure how to pronounce this one. It's A-S-P-A-R-T-E-M-E, you know, so those are the seven things that, you know, Monsanto is, you know, very familiar with and stuff like that, you know. And so, and like I said to, you know, a lot of these people that were down there at Balboa Park that day, you know, the story of my life being a migrant that actually, you know, was in the war zone as far as I'm concerned, because these guys, they didn't care. When they needed to spray, they didn't care if we were in the field or out of the field taking a break. They just threw it and stuff like that, you know. And so I look at my skin sometimes and people says, oh, you know, you look pretty good, but you still have a lot of dimples. I'm not sure what to call them. And I said, that's the effects of all that chemical in those days and stuff like that, you know. So it's really, 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 really tough and stuff like that. And they're still using that stuff down in San Joaquin, Mexico, everywhere, you know. So.
Yeah, man. They're using it everywhere, Manny. And I'm glad to have you back. We missed you while you were gone. I know you had a adventure, to say the least, and we're going to ask you about that coming up next. Once we get through all this stuff about this, you know, this Roundup and this glyphosate. So Colombia has stopped using it. They're not even spraying it on the cocoa plants. And now Costa Rica seems like the next country that's getting ready to start trying to do something about these very nasty pesticides, herbicides, because their people are getting sick because it's being used a lot on the pineapple crops and stuff like that. So, you know, it seems like people in countries and businesses all over the world are starting to realize, okay, well, this glyphosate stuff is nasty and it's making people sick. People don't like it. People are tired of Monsanto and seeing Monsanto products, so we're going to just stop carrying them. And so that's a pretty good you know, to me, it's a pretty good development. It's kind of messed up that it takes a lot of people getting sick and, you know, even in India, people committing suicide over these kind of crops. It's kind of sad that it takes such a big catastrophe for action to happen. But, you know, now that the action is happening, it's pretty good news. And, you know, it's something that we should really support. I mean, it's again, it's kind of ironic that it takes these laws to go ban this stuff when it should be just, you know, people should just stop using this stuff. But you got to take a victory where you can, I guess. So, I mean, there's so many stories going on right now, but I think what Manny and I talked about on the phone earlier is something that's pretty much flying under the radar among all these different, you know, different, you know, very high profile stories that are going on right now. You know, we gotta make sure we're not forgetting about anything else that's big that's going on. Now, Manny, I wanted to ask you about what's going on in Mexico, man, because you just got back from down there and you got to see some things and experience some stuff that's going on. If you can you fill in our listeners right now about what it is that, you know, the situation down in Mexico?
Well, basically, firsthand, it's hard to see how you see a lot of these young people with their parents, you know, being clubbed by, you know, state police and federal police and stuff like that, and just completely beating people up. I mean, where you see blood everywhere and stuff like that. And not to disgrace our brothers and sisters in Baltimore, but what's going on right now in my home state and in Mexico, you know, but I can speak more to my home state because, I mean, you talk about being on location. It just makes Baltimore look like Mickey Mouse, you know, and it just, and I'm really sad that the government in the United States has blood in their hands because they're sending all these millions of dollars, you know, supposedly to the drug, you know, the war on drugs and stuff like that. And they're, I mean, brand new equipment down there that, you know, it's from the United States. There's no doubt, you know, no doubt about it. Weapons and everything. I mean, the government's going to be suited up. It's almost like the cartel. I mean, you can't tell the difference between the government and the cartel because we call them el narco gobierno, stuff like that. And very dangerous down there to the point that I just basically, let's put it this way, I left 2 days earlier. And stuff like that, but I just cannot, you know, find myself not crying over this. It was that sad. I mean, we're just in a civil war, and this United States government has blood in their hands because they're actually providing the government all the equipment to kill people. They're just protesting for human rights, and they want democracy and stuff like that, and they want accountability and stuff like that because one of the big things are they're just basically part of the big fire is the 43, you know, Ayotzinapa and stuff like that. And a lot of people basically didn't vote because they said, why bother voting? So basically they burned the ballots and stuff like that and stuff like, and it just like, and the streets are just chaos. I mean, I don't care where you look, there's military everywhere. There's state cops, local cops, you know, and federal cops everywhere. I mean, it's just a war zone. There's no other way to say it. It is a war zone down there for us. And a very sad thing that this government down here is part of it in the United States.
And people wonder, you know, people probably wondering, hey, well, how come I'm not hearing about this in the news and stuff? You know, how come I don't hear that they're massively oppressing people down in Mexico, down in you know, southern central Mexico, where there's a lot of, you know, indigenous strife, a lot of people standing up to the corruption and stuff like that. Well, I'll tell you why you don't hear about it, because it's our government sending the weapons. You think whenever the U.S. is sending weapons into a place, we're not going to show how bad it is, you know what I mean? And it's just like what's going on in Libya right now, where the country is going into a complete civil war, but the news doesn't even talk about it because it was only a few years ago when we overthrew the government, you know what I mean? Like, we toppled the government. Up until that point, the media showed all the bad things they were doing. Oh, Gaddafi's doing this. Gaddafi's doing that. Gaddafi killed these people. Gaddafi killed those people. Once we get rid of Gaddafi and we send our military in there, now Libya can do nothing wrong, even though ISIS is in there, even though there's Al-Qaeda in there, even though there's a civil war going on there. Now the media won't even talk about it. Why not? Same reason. They're not talking about it because they helped cause the mess. And that's exactly why they're trying to not talk about what's going on in Mexico right now, talking about the amount of American weapons, American finance weapons, Humvees, tanks, armored weapons, machine guns, assault rifles, helicopters that are being sent to the Mexican military and are being used to kill their own people. And we act like we're doing this to help their democracy. What kind of bullshit is that?
Why are we doing it?
Yeah. Okay. What's up, Jake?
Hey, Manny. Hey, so I'm curious. I mean, I know there's probably a lot of different points of view on this, but why are we giving them weapons?
It's just, well, you know, basically we talked about it. I talked about it with my sister and everything. Is, let's face it and let's tell it like it is, you know. This government does not want anybody to have peace. It's not good for business. You know, that's the bottom line. There's no other way for me to say it, you know.
Hello?
You know, it's part of the military-industrial complex, dude. They're funneling the weapons in there to make billions of dollars and stuff, and it costs everybody that lives in the U.S.
Hi,
they rob
Nick
the money.
Is Barnaby available?
Yeah, this is Nick Barnaby. How's it going?
Oh, hi, Nick. This is Shay.
Hey, Shay. So awesome. I'm glad you're calling in. We're gonna jump right into this once we're done with the story that we're on right now. So if you could hold on the line here for a few minutes. We'll get into this story that we're going to talk to you about next.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, you know, this whole thing in Mexico, you know, it's a lot of it is military industrial complex. These contracting companies, the people that make the weapons, they make so much money from the drug war. And since the U.S. is basically responsible for militarizing the Mexican government to carry out the drug war. You know, you have to wonder, you know, where the money's coming from and all that stuff. And so it's a big mess and corruption money a lot of it's behind it. And then you got all the drugs and the cartels and it all kind of mixes into one big equation. And the thing is that the indigenous people of Mexico are the ones getting the shaft here. You know, these are the people that are getting paid $2 $3 a day to work all day in these American agricultural plantations and these things that are just south of the border that people really don't even know about, man. This is where our food's coming from, and a lot of people are indirectly supporting this stuff, not knowing it. Everybody that pays taxes, man, it's our money that's being used to send the helicopters and the jets and all that stuff down there for the Mexican government to use to kill and maim and bomb and coerce its own people, man. And Manny, one last thing on this story that I wanted to talk about with you before we move on is the recent elections in Mexico, man. I saw some stories come out about how the people were boycotting the election. They were even shutting down the polling stations and burning the ballots because they were just basically saying this election is a complete fake. You know, what was all that about?
Well, that's actually correct and stuff like that. And it's just basically, they're saying that if we have a narco gobierno, why do elections at all? We'd be hypocrites. Who are we voting for and stuff like that, you know? And so it's just one of those things. And one of the questions actually, talking to a lot of the underground press, which I won't mention because, you know, they're very underground, and they trust me, you know. They know there's one person that's not a snitch, and they know it is, you know. And they say, I know it's dangerous for you to even be out here, but the bottom line is this, you know, is I am very sad because what now the United States is helping to destroy my state and the rest of Mexico. Now who's going to be making money, you know, to rebuild our country? You know, Cheney and Bush and stuff like that, you know, to destroy the country now, who's going to get the country to go build like Blackwater and all these people? You know? That is really depressing and stuff like that, you know. And this is why it's getting a lot of attention, because once the teachers are in the movement, and everybody, when they see teachers, they're saying, wait a minute, the people that are supposedly educating our people here, you know, our young people, they're in the movement. So everybody's saying, oh my God, we need to get in the movement and stuff like that. And a lot of teachers down there are asking, what are teachers down there waiting in the United States to get in the movement, man? I said, you know what? I cannot answer that question because I don't even know. So when I don't know something, I just keep my mouth shut and stuff like that. But it just, you know, and I just can't see all these young lives being killed and stuff like that. You know, are you trying to kill the future of the world? You know, and it just, it's really, I don't know what else to tell you. You know, it's really,
teachers are on the front lines, man. And that's, you know, that really added a lot of legitimacy to what's going on there in Mexico. The teachers joined the strikes. The teachers joined the protests. The teachers boycotted the elections. And you can't deny the teachers, man. These are the guys that know what's up. They know the youth. They know what's going on. They're the ones that have a lot of the knowledge. And for them to stand up in Mexico and take a stand against the narco gobierno, you know, the cartels, the government, it's big. You know, it's really big. And so keep an eye on it. Like we were talking about, what's going on in Mexico is not being talked about by the media because the U.S. government is in a large way responsible for the unrest, for the violence, the drug war, the cartels, all of that stuff that's going on in Mexico. We're largely responsible. Therefore, the media just will not talk about it because they're not going to show the crimes that the government is committing. They're only going to show the crime that other governments are committing.
Correct.
So, you know, keep an eye on everybody. You know, it's a really scary situation down there. Definite chance for spilling over into the U.S. When things go down over there. So, you know, everyone keep an eye on it. We're going to go into this next story here. And basically what I want to talk about is this Charleston shooting and what it's become now in the media. And you know, to me, it's been really diluted. You know, you look at the shooting, and it, obviously there's this racist kid, and he's supported by a racist society, more or less. And now all of a sudden, everything that we're seeing in the media now, it's like about the Confederate flag, and it's like, oh well, now that Walmart's not selling the Confederate flag, then racism is over. I mean, this is what the media is out here trying to tell us right now.
Walmart has ended racism.
Yeah, I mean, this is literally like the narrative that's being played out right now, and that's why we have Shay Dixon on from Black Lives Matter Los Angeles to talk about, you know, what is actually going on with race relations in the United States, with racism, and I definitely wanted to ask Shay what you think of all of this play in the media about the Confederate flag and how they're acting like this. You know, as if like we can just get these flags out of the stores and out of the buildings, then okay, then the whole problem's gone and we can stop talking about it. What do you think about that?
Don't hold back, sister.
I think that we need to call it what it is. Our country just had a terrorist attack. You know, this kid, he's a terrorist. He's a man and he's a terrorist. And although, you know, the Confederate flag is definitely a symbol of hate, it definitely needs to be burned, thrown in the trash, made illegal even. But we also can't lose focus of the bigger issue, which is, as you said, racism. It's an actual act. It's an actual experience. It's active, you know, and, yeah, I think we need to cut our TVs out first and foremost. If folks are watching the television and feeding into the media and buying into the lies, then that's the first issue. Turn the TV off first.
I definitely agree with you there. And, you know, the media always likes to take it takes a situation where and don't get me wrong, this is a horrible situation that happened, but it can be a situation where we can learn from it and we can start to say, okay, well, look, the racism is right there and it's slapping us in the face. Let's talk about it. Let's try to get through this and let's try to, you know, get people to figure out what it actually is. But instead, everyone, now it's just like, oh, now it's all about the Confederate flag. And like, that is the entire narrative. And it's like, why aren't we talking about why this kid did what he did? Why aren't we talking about, you know, what's going on, really?
That's the issue. Actually, speaking about racism, addressing it, and solving the problem, that will require too many white folks to get out of their comfort zone because that's their reality. They are the oppressors, and they control the media. They control the narrative. We are allowing them to control the narrative when we feed into the propaganda that we see on television.
Yeah.
We saw that in Spanish, by the way. Media.
I was just going to say, I didn't mean to interrupt Sister Shay on that one. I just want to let you guys know down there, we were following that story because it hit the media in Mexico, because a lot of people were asking me that, said, man, you're down there, you come from down there, stuff like that is, what would happen if that was you? I'd be a dead Mexican. As simple as that. You know, if you're black, Latino, boom, you're gone. And people in Mexico cannot understand they shoot, they will shoot a Latino or they will shoot somebody that's black, but yet this kid, this is basically what happened in Mexico. They're treating him, basically, I was telling them, they're treating him like he just stole a piece of bubble gum. They give him a, you know, to protect him with a bulletproof vest, and then they take him to Burger King. I mean, what type of justice is that and stuff like that? But they don't call him a terrorist. They don't call him a thug. They don't call him a racist. Oh,
You know, that's not justice to us oppressed folks, and it goes beyond black folks. It's black bodies, brown bodies. It's every other minority, you know, and some poor people, we can throw them in there, but really, the folks of color here, we are the oppressed folks. Yeah, it's tough to even speak about at times.
Yeah, it really is, and as you were saying, it's really hard, you know, for white people to talk about racism, because, you know, most people, you know, most white people, you know, they think, oh, racism's over, you know, Martin Luther King happened, the civil rights movement, you know, all that stuff, and like that stuff is all behind us and stuff. But
like how they quote MLK, I would like for folks to stop quoting the mainstream quotes of MLK. Actually research him. Actually look up his speeches. Read his words, and then you decide for yourself, you know, what MLK would do if he was actually alive right now, which he is. His spirit is working with us. That's what the oppressors feel moving right now.
Yeah, you know, and you know, the thing that I think why people think racism is over is because a lot of times, like, it's hard to see and stuff, but what people don't understand is structural racism, it runs throughout the entire system. And it's been ingrained in America for so long that it's almost invisible now to a lot of people that aren't,
it is
being,
America.
You know, the people that aren't being, you know, personally affected by it, it becomes more or less invisible to them. So they think that it doesn't exist anymore. But the thing is that it's plainly obvious to see anywhere you look. I mean, you look at the prisons, you look at the schools, the economy, everything, it's all skewed away from people that are minorities. It basically marginalizes everybody that is, you know what I mean? And this now is the structural racism. It's a huge, enormous thing, but it's hard for a lot of people to see in their personal lives. How do you think we can reach people that think that it's no longer an issue? How do you think that we can really bring it back to the forefront? And I think that's what, you know, what this tragedy should be functioning as. This is what we should be doing with this tragedy. We shouldn't be talking about the Confederate flag or any flag. All flags are shit, in my opinion. I think we need to start addressing these issues, like, all the way down to the root of, to the core. How do we go about doing that?
I think the people who believe racism does not exist should sit down and have an adult conversation with someone who believes that it does exist.
I mean, that'd be a good way.
It's that simple. We have to, you know, have some real conversations. Every conversation is not going to be an easy one, but the only way we're going to get through our issues is if we have those hard conversations. You know,
the racism,
and actually get answers and start making positive changes.
To believe that racism doesn't exist, I mean, that's a level of pathology and entitlement that I think is going to require more than just a single conversation. It's going to require like a systemic overhaul of who gets to, you know, the power structures that are putting certain voices on TV and controlling certain media narratives. That's going to have to be addressed as well, because people that believe that this can't even be tolerated. It's not a tenable belief. It's not something that can be a part of our democracy at this point. Because in order to restore the democracy, people like that just can't. I mean, I believe in free speech, but there's only,
you know, you can speak free.
No, the conversation is the beginning of it.
Right.
You know. But
absolutely. Yeah. You got to have the conversation, but there are times when people aren't willing to listen to facts because it's such an emotional issue. People get, they think you're accusing them, and they get tied up in heritage and their family, and they've struggled too.
Facts.
You know, like, well, I've struggled too, and you have to get people away from that whole narrative. So I agree with you, and it's a difficult conversation. So I guess my question to you would be, what would be the kinds of points you would make to a person who believes that racism doesn't exist? Because that's a tough one.
So it depends on who the person is that doesn't believe racism exists. We all have different life experiences.
Well, for me, it's easy because
my experience with you just want to know my opinion on it. You know, black people experience racism every day simply because they walk with brown skin. Black people are 2.5 times more likely to be killed by a police officer than minorities. I'm sorry, than white folks. It's a constant and consistent level of fear and heightened stress that black people live in every day just based off of their existence. Our communities are heavily policed. You know, we're harassed in the streets. We're not afforded the same justices as white folks. You know, we're basically still living under the conditions of slavery, like how it was 200 years ago. You know, the only thing that's changed is some words on a paper. The mentality, the attitude, the system, the structure, everything's still in place.
Exactly.
So, you know, anyone who believes that racism does not exist, you know, they have to be a part of that 1%.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not. It's such a widespread belief that it's almost mind-boggling.
Terrible.
You know, just going on Facebook and seeing some of the comment reactions to
can't pay attention to the trolls.
Yeah, during Ferguson, but some of it's not trolls. Some of it's people who just really ignorant people. And you didn't even maybe realize that some of your best friends are the most ignorant people you've ever known in your life.
Yeah. So you know, the next point I wanted to bring up about this Charleston shooting was the kid's friend, right? This Dylan kid. He had this friend. It was one of his best friends, and you know, his friend gave an interview, and he's like, "Yeah, I kind of feel guilty, you know, because he would talk about this kind of stuff, and he would talk about all this racist stuff, and he'd talk about how he wanted to hurt people, but I never really took him seriously, and I just figured, he's just a little racist, whatever, you know." So, you know, this kid was like, "Yeah, now I feel bad because I never said anything, confronted him about it." And so this is one thing that I think that, to me, I think would be like one of the most effective ways to combat racism, or to like get people that are racist to start realizing how wrong their ways are, or get people that think that racism doesn't exist to start realizing that it really does and that it needs to be confronted, is that I think we need to just, anytime anyone in our personal lives says anything like that or shows any of those tendencies, they need to be confronted.
Call them out.
People that have friends, everybody's got a friend that's got a friend at least that's racist or says some dumb shit all the time or whatever. It's no longer within your moral boundaries to just ignore that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Now it's time to step up and say, you know what, dude? I'm sick and tired of hearing you talk that way, and the way you're thinking about it is wrong, and here's why.
Yeah, inaction is action.
Exactly,
yeah.
And this is how we need to start combating it, because we can't sit here and rely on laws to be passed to ban a Confederate flag, and that's not going to fix racism. I mean, they passed the Civil Rights Movement and all that legislation, and it was a great step in the right direction, but it did not solve racism at all. You know what I mean? So we need to take it to a personal level.
You know what's funny about that? I saw a picture today of the KKK marching in front of the White House with American flags, with U.S. flags. They weren't holding Confederate flags, you know? So the folks under those hoods, they want the Confederate flag to be gone too, because they fought them in the war, they beat them, the Confederates don't want to give it up. They don't want to get over it. They want them to put that little flame out, you know? That's definitely not ending racism.
And it was the Pink House before it was the White House. It got the name changed for a reason.
Oh, there's DD. What's up, DD?
Yeah, you make a great point. You make a great point about, you know, and we posted a meme on that today as well on the anti-media. And, you know, it was about how the KKK was marching down there with the American flags. And, you know, the American flag is just as racist. It stands for just as much racism and racist policies, racist institutions, structural racism as any other flag in the world, including the Confederate flag. The Confederate flag gets beat up the most because, you know, the North
won the war.
Yeah, the North won the war, so they get to say, okay, well, the flag is the problem. It's not anything else, just a flag. No, dude. The American flag encompasses more racism than any other flag in the world, dude. You know, and so, Shay, you have a great point there. I mean, what are they going to say? Oh, yeah, the Confederate flag is bad, but the American flag is good. Let's all support that. No, all these flags are pretty much bad, and they all stand for pretty horrible things.
Every flag is oppression because every flag is nationalism.
Exactly. And they're made in China, by the way. I tell people they're supposed to be patriots. I say, your flag is made in China. So get over it.
Shay, is there anything you want to leave us with before we move on to the next story?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Oh, sorry. I said, is there anything you want to leave us with before we move on to the next story?
Well, thank you for having me on. I really enjoy speaking to you folks tonight. I really appreciate it. I am organizing a rally on July 1st. It's Wednesday, July 1st. It'll be at 1 p.m. It is targeting Lazy Lacey, as I like to call her. It is targeting Jackie Lacey. July 1st is the one-year anniversary of the CHP officer Daniel Andrew beating Marlene Pinnock on the 10 freeway. So, you know, he was able to retire and just walk away into the sunset. And, you know, Ms. Pinnock still hasn't received justice. So we have a demand of Jackie Lacey to file charges against Daniel Andrew now. It's been one whole year. So we want to invite folks to come out with us. It's going to be a rally and a press conference at 1 p.m. If you can just stop through in the middle of your day, we would greatly appreciate it.
Cool. Where are you at, Shay?
I'm sorry?
Where are you at? Where's your home base?
Oh, where am I at right now?
No, I mean, where are you at? Where's your base at?
What city?
I'm in L.A. I'm in L.A. Yes, I'm in Los Angeles. And so it's going to be at 210.
Oh, we might know each other, Nani. We might know each other, and I didn't not even know it. That's why I was asking, because I'm down here in Hollywood.
Okay. Yeah, we live in the same area. I've been out here for a couple of years. We might know each other.
Okay. Thank you.
Awesome, Shay. Well, thanks for calling in. We're going to, if you're down, we'd like to have you back on the show sometime soon.
Sure. Whenever you like me on, just let me know.
Awesome. Well, it was good having you.
Thanks, Shay.
And so, yeah, I mean, this, you know, this whole thing here with this Charleston shooting is now turned into a shit show. I mean, they've totally just turned it into, okay, now Walmart's banning it. Okay, now Amazon. Oh, now eBay. And now, oh, racism is gone. eBay just took it down. Now we don't got to talk about this stuff anymore. Because, you know, here's the thing, man, is like the racism is built into the system, and that's what's helping keeping it up, dude. The whole, you know, we talk about the petrodollar. We talk about the Federal Reserve. We talk about the prison industrial complex, the military industrial complex, racism, it's all built into all this stuff, dude, and it keeps all of everybody else down, dude. It keeps us all down because it keeps everybody afraid of each other, and it keeps us away from uniting together to take this system down. And so that's why it's so important to combat racism as well. Not only are so many people being affected by it, but it's holding everybody down too.
Yeah,
it's the people that aren't minorities, the people that aren't being affected by it. You know, it's holding everybody down, man. It affects us all, dude. Yeah. And the only people benefiting from it, the only people benefiting from it in the overall scheme of things, is once again it goes back to the powers that be, the banking system, the corporate industrial complex, all these fools that are robbing everybody else blind and keeping everybody broke. You know what I mean? And so this is part of it. Go ahead, BB.
Yeah, I just wanted to get out there because I've noticed a lot of people are hammering on the Confederate flag thing and everything, and that's important. And it's important to bring this to light. But we got to look at, you know, kind of something that's gone under the radar, which is the state senator that was, you know, basically taken out before he can get something going. This I sent you it over, Nick. This Clementa Pinckney, he was, you know, responsible for getting legislation passed for body cams. He kind of started that, and he wanted to go further and start a Citizens Oversight Committee. And what do you know? He goes to church and he's taken out.
Yeah, he was an activist. He was an activist, man. And it was a hit. You know, the kid walked in and he asked for this guy too. He walked in. And he's like, "Oh, where's this guy at?" And then, "Oh, he's there."
And there's this roof kid's friend that's an African American and said, "Hey, we've been friends, you know, I've been friends with the guy since he's a kid. He never said anything like this to me, you know, and if he did, I wouldn't have been friends with him." So we've got to look at what the underlying thing is. Sure, it made a big media frenzy. It made us forget the TPP got fast tracked. That got signed. People don't understand that made everybody an economic slave right now.
Exactly, and I want to mention one thing that hit the headlines for us in Mexico, okay? Your candidate, Nick, Mr. Donald Trump. Every Mexican is a drug dealer. We're all, you know, a bunch of losers. We're all rapists, and we're all this, you know? It's like, what's up with that? And he's running for president? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, did that actually make mainstream news down there? Yeah, Donald Trump and his... when he announced that he was going to run in the speech, he basically said most of the Mexicans that are coming up here are rapists and drug dealers and all this other stuff. That guy's a total scumbag, dude. And you know, he got a bunch of media play and stuff. And I wrote an op-ed on it about how, you know, the Donald Trump candidacy just goes to prove that the whole entire electoral system is a complete joke. But to have a guy like that running, it just goes to show, man, dude, you're Our democracy has become a reality show, and it's a big joke for these douchebags that are at the top. And unfortunately for the rest of us, we get the wrath of what these guys get to, you know, whatever these guys feel like doing. We get to deal with all that stuff, and we have to pay for it. You know, when they want to go bomb Iran, when they want to go prop up the Mexican government, and allow them to kill thousands of their own citizens and kidnap journalists and kidnap students and crush teacher union protests and stuff like that. I mean, you know, we get to pay for all that stuff, man. Like, we, you know, anyone that lives here, anyone that goes shopping and buys food and works at a job or anything like that, dude, everybody that lives here in the U.S., whether they're a citizen or not, is paying for this crap. And we're paying for all these countries to get screwed over. I mean, in Iraq alone, since 9/11, there's been 1 million people die because of the stuff that we've done over there. And dude, all stuff that for the most part is unnecessary, and the drug war is unnecessary, and the cartels are unnecessary. Fighting, you know, ISIS is unnecessary. ISIS would have never been around had it not been for us, you know, and all this crap is unnecessary. But you know what? All the regular folks, the poor people, even the racist white dudes that are broke living in a trailer park, guess what? They're paying for it too. And them being racist plays right into the hands of the powers that be, because then they hate their neighbor, and their neighbor hates them back because they hate them, and then they all just keep working and paying their taxes, and the system just keeps rolling on like nothing ever happened. And that's exactly what the media is trying to turn this Charleston shooting into.
Yep, because if we all came together before the dollar drops, then we can actually do something about it. But if they keep us divided, and one day you wake up and you have no cash, the supermarkets are empty, you really think people are going to be holding hands?
You got no cash, no friends. You don't trust your neighbor because they look different than you do. Then what? Then what? Who are you going to trust? You know what I mean? That's what we've been talking about this a long time, man. Community, dude. Building up community. And in order to have a community, you need to get past all of your prejudices. You got to get past all, well, that person's Muslim. Well, should I trust them? Yes, you should trust them. Because have you ever had a Muslim guy hurt you? No, you haven't. Because the 17 Muslims that supposedly took down the buildings in 9/11 were from Saudi Arabia, and we propped that country up, dude. All the dudes from Iraq, all the people from Afghanistan, the Persian people. I'm sure a lot of people out there know Persian people, especially people in LA. You know that those are nice people, man. They don't hurt you, you know, no more than anybody else does. And so, you know, we got to get past all this racism stuff and this prejudice stuff, and that's why it's important. I know a lot of people listening tonight to the show are not racist and don't believe that, you know, anyone is any different no matter how they look. And I know, you know, our the people that are part of the movement for the most part pretty much know all that stuff, dude. But you probably still got family, you still got friends, and you still got people that you know that buy into all this crap and all this divide and conquer stuff. And it's time to confront them on it, dude. We can't just let it simmer and let it sit like this kid in Charleston and just let him, you know, run off on these ramblings and stuff. Your friends got to intervene. You got to have a intervention. Your family's got to put a stop to it, dude. You can't just let these people run around talking this crazy shit. I'm not saying that you need to involve the cops, because you know that you don't involve the cops ain't a good thing. But you got to get your, you know, your friends and family, you got to get them on point, dude. You can't let them walk around with these horrible ideas.
Yeah, anymore. Disinvite them from family gatherings, and if a cop is a family member, disinvite them as well. That's step one.
Exactly.
You're not
and
invited
also,
to the
you
pot.
You have to vote with your dollar.
As long as
you have to vote with your dollar. You cannot be supporting the Mexican Walmart and Super. You cannot be supporting companies that treat your fellow person like, you know what, you know, and stuff like that. That's where you come in and stuff like that. Actually, heard from Jesse Ventura. He's voting nobody. You know, vote for president, nobody. I know Jake has got faith in Bernie Sanders. I like Bernie Sanders. My problem is that if he gets to be president, the Republicans ain't gonna, they're going to lock him up. You know, that's the bottom line. You know, so the best thing to just do is vote for nobody. And so now I got people in Mexico that are going to tell their compadres down here that are, you know, U.S. citizens to vote for nobody for president. Man, I'll tell you, I love it. It's one of the positive things I brought back to the United States from down there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm an ostensible Bernie Sanders supporter. At heart, I want. I'd rather vote.
Don't
for...
Don't lie, you're going for Hillary.
Hillary, who I just wrote an article comparing to Jeb Bush. Yeah, no, I don't. They're all a bunch of shitheads. I've lost faith.
They all use Rent-A-Crowd.
What?
Yeah.
They all. Every single one of them uses Rent-A-Crowd. They have to pay people to show up.
Yeah.
Donald Trump used it for sure. He got busted using it.
No, Obama broke my heart in 2008, and it's over. It's done, and I've moved on. And I would consider myself a recovering Democrat.
Well, thank God, and you're an independent now / anarchist.
That's a good one, Jake.
DB is also a recovering Obama supporter. I never really bought into it, but. I wasn't into voting.
Yeah, you don't vote.
I voted once. I voted in 2012 for, I think, Gary Johnson. But yeah, other than that, man, like, I voted independent, and you know. But you know, I don't blame people, dude. Like, a lot of people got fooled by the, you know, the propaganda, dude. Just like a lot of people are gonna get fooled this time, and they're gonna support Hillary, and they're gonna support Marco Rubio, and they're gonna think Marco Rubio is gonna fix the economy when he gets elected and stuff. Well, like, tell you what, dude, he's not gonna fix the economy. He's going to send us into war with Iran and possibly start World War III.
We're going to annex Cuba.
Same as the old boss.
What was that, DB?
I said Marco Rubio is going to allow us to annex Cuba.
Yeah, you're gonna. I wouldn't be surprised, man. Go in there and conquer Cuba like FDR did and stuff. Oh, no. Who was it? It wasn't FDR. Teddy.
But, I mean, this time it will be with a smile on our face, and they'll go, oh, yeah, yeah. And there we go. We can knock Russia out of our hemisphere.
Yep. Wouldn't doubt it, man.
One thing that scares me about Marco Rubio is I already get sent to secondary 7 out of 10 times, and I'm at an airport. I get pulled over 8 out of 10 times to secondary in immigration, and then I'm already in the United States, and I get pulled over again. It's like, where'd you come from? San Diego. You have your immigration papers? I'm like, dude, I'm in the United States. Are you kidding me? You know, and stuff like that. And it's crazy. But with Marco Rubio president, I'll be pulled, you know, to secondary 10 out of 10 at the airport and at immigration. That's what scares me, yeah?
Yeah, man. I mean, the guy, you know, he's a perfect example of a arrogant immigrant. He's not an immigrant himself, but his parents are. But they treat other immigrants like shit because, oh, we're already here. Fuck everybody else. You know, that's what they think. And that's the attitude this guy has, dude. And it's such a horrible way of thinking about things. And, you know, this is the guy that's most likely going to become president. And I've gone on record saying this multiple times, and I'll say it again. Marco Rubio is going to be the president in 2016. That's who it's going to be. It's going to be Republicans. No way in hell it's going, there's no way in hell it's going to be Hillary. She's got too much baggage. If somehow Bernie Sanders were to get the nomination for the Democrats, he probably would win, but that's just not going to happen, dude. You know, and you know, it's going to be Rubio. This, all this shit is all scripted. It's all pre-scripted. And Hillary Clinton is the Mitt Romney of 2012. She's the Mitt Romney of 2016. And you know, this is how it's going to play out. It's going to be a Republican. It's probably going to be Rubio, and he's going to do just as horrible things as Bush did, and he's going to do just as horrible things as Obama did. And he's going to get cover from the right, and he's going to get bashed by the left, and the show will roll on, and everyone's going to hate each other, and the conservatives are going to hate the damn liberals, and the liberals are going to think the conservatives are crazy, and we're all going to continue this shitty, you know, situation where it's divide and conquer, two-party duopoly. And
the show,
I hope that doesn't happen. And that's why we have our show. That's why we have our show, because we're trying to prevent this shit from happening. But can we prevent it? I don't know. What's the next step, dude? What do you think, Jake?
Oh, God, I can't end with the next step. I don't know.
It's a big question.
Put some implants in our heads to change our consciousness. We gotta evolve our consciousness. I'm dead serious. I don't see any other way. I mean, we need some kind of weird like new form of radiation to come from outer space and cause our brains to start evolving again or something. Because right now we're stuck on the path to extinction. And one of the articles here is about the sixth extinction, actually.
Yeah,
and this has been a theory for a while.
Yeah,
but I mean,
it's kind of a scary study. You got these guys from Stanford University, Princeton University, University of California, Berkeley, which my little brother just graduated from. Kind of another scary thing. Man, I was over at his graduation. These kids are coming up with some technology that could be awesome or it could be hell, of course, like any technology. But yeah, they're saying that the Earth is experiencing and in the midst right now of its sixth mass extinction because under normal conditions, you know, yeah, species die off here and there and, you know, new species are come out. But right now it's 100 times the extinction rate of normal, you know, normal periods. So basically what they're saying is, okay, now that it's 100 times greater than what it normally is, well, then that means that we're in a mass extinction era. And these guys had some pretty dire warnings. Because they were also saying that it's not just the animals that are going to die off, man. Humans are going to be pretty early on, you know, if this mass extinction materializes, well, humans are going to be one of the early, you know, species that get wiped out. Because we're so reliant on the ecosystem and we're not very well adapted, as many of the animals are, to exist in extreme conditions. You know, a lot of humans are just going to start dying off if we're not careful.
We're big wusses.
So yeah, I mean, a lot of this stuff is, you know, pretty dire stuff, and it to me it kind of just sends a message: hey, dude, time to stop messing with the environment, time to start taking care of our own space, and stop shitting where you sleep. You know the old saying.
Stop using fossil fuels. What the hell are we doing? And why are people still? I mean, I'm just as guilty. I have a gas car. I mean,
we all do.
We don't need it right now. The Tesla just came out, 35 grand, 200 mile range. I mean, it's so hard to break away from all of the things we've been doing forever. Like, we shouldn't be eating any factory farm meat, but we still do. I still do it.
You're right, man.
We shouldn't have to kill what we eat. I mean, these are things we have to change, and they'll make a big difference.
Is this group pathology? Like, we're stuck in this, like, we're stuck in this cycle humans are, this like program, and we can't break out of it. And we're waiting for like industry titans and government to help us break out of it. But no, like we got to do it from the ground up, grassroots style, break out of it, hopefully.
Oh, you guys are speaking my language now, you know. Like, I've been trying to turn you guys into vegetarians, you know. And,
oh, I'm a vegetarian, man. I'm a vegetarian.
Oh, okay, good. You know, and also I've been saying for a long time, what's wrong with these people? We need to get rid of the pharmaceuticals because people in the United States are over-medicated. You know, they get depressed, pop a pill. I'm not happy, pop a pill. I'm on a diet, pop a pill, you know, and pop a pill here and pop a pill there. You know, everybody's over-medicated, and God knows what the government's putting on those vaccine shots, you know, to program people, you know.
Heavy metals.
A pill that stops
heavy metals.
Oh, okay.
You inject heavy metal into your bloodstream. It passes your blood-brain barrier. Then they use all kinds of little microwave tricks, and they tell you what to think.
Wow.
I mean, who knows, man? There's been so many. There's these group of people called targeted individuals, man. They make a pretty compelling case. I mean, they sound a little out there at first, but all kinds of experimentation done, man. And we're gonna have we have an article out on that tomorrow, actually, about some of these psychological experiments that we're doing on people based on race, and they were testing out different things on different races of people to see how they can make them act or how they can affect them. And you know, these are experiments that have been going on since, you know, pre-World War II, and then they got really intense after World War II. You know, MK Ultra, Operation Paperclip. These are all things that are real. These are all documented things that the CIA and, you know, the other parts of the scientific government establishment have been, you know, conducting on us for a long time. And, you know, for people to think, oh yeah, you know, that was in the 60s. Government got way more ethical since then, and they got way better at doing stuff. Well,
yeah, more like the opposite.
Yeah, it's probably the opposite. They're probably still doing horrible, effed up things to people. Whether we're talking about mind control experiments.
Oh my God, are you kidding me? The experiments they're running now would make a horror movie look like Disney.
Yeah, man. And so, you know, these things are all part of this system, dude. We got to bring it all down. Otherwise, we're just going to keep being impacted and being the host for all these parasites that keep sucking our blood, you know, and our you know, the whole thing about humans, man, is that we're active beings and we do things and we're constructive for the most part. And we work and we build stuff and we do things. And all of that stuff is being sucked dry from the parasitic class, the ruling class, the money class, the people that tell us what to do, the people that tell us to hate each other, the people that tell us to hate Muslims or to be afraid of black people or to think brown people are stealing our jobs. I mean, This is the stuff that they program into us so that we can continue to be divided and think that all of our neighbors are against us and are scheming on us. No, dude. Your neighbors want to be just as peaceful and left alone and be happy just like everybody else does. Doesn't matter what they look like. Doesn't matter what they believe in. Doesn't matter their religion. Anything. They just want to be happy, man. And that's the thing we need to start to realize about everybody that we know and all the regular people that aren't one percenters, that aren't part of the billionaire ruling class. Everybody else pretty much just wants to be happy and left alone, dude. And that's what we need to start focusing on, man. And think those are the things that we have in common, dude. We all have differences, and the thing we have in common is that we want to be left alone to practice our differences.
So if you're listening out there, we talk a lot, you know, sometimes we sound negative and you may pick up personal vibes of, you know, discontent sometimes, you know, some of us. You know, like I'm not incredibly, you know, enthusiastic about the state of the world and whatnot. But ultimately, you know, we do have to try and be positive in some way and try and leave hope, right? I mean, I think what you were tapping into earlier about community, I think, and we all here agree that the problems can be fixed. There's not a problem out there that can't be fixed. And so we just have to kind of tap into the right states of mind that we need to be in to approach the people around us and to build structurally, unit by unit, the communities we need to fight these power structures.
And Jake, we cannot wait for the authority to give us permission that they never earned in the first place.
Right.
Because they're not leaders, they're rulers.
And if they did earn it, hey, if they did earn it, let's say the Founding Fathers semi-earned what they did, even though it was flawed from the beginning, they sure as hell have not kept that, they haven't, you know, kept our faith in it. They've lost all credibility. The whole system has lost credibility as far as trying to take care of the people is what they're supposed to do. They've lost credibility in that.
Because it's always pandered to the common man, the lowest common denominator. It hasn't allowed us to rise up. Collectively, it's made us compete, which is the dumbest thing ever. We have one world. There's human beings on it. We need to cooperate and get past all this crap and make everybody's lives great.
Yep, we have the resources. We have the resources to feed, clothe, and shelter every human being on the earth. We don't need we don't need GMOs.
Challenge for everybody Monday. I want to hear you call in. Go out this weekend and talk to somebody that you normally wouldn't talk to. Talk to somebody that maybe you'd be afraid to talk to. I don't care if it's
buenas noches, guys.
On the streets or in a restaurant or something. Talk to your friends, your neighbors.
Go up to a cop.
Talk to a cop.
That's how we go. Here we go. Go through the stereo.